Poor Peter. Wow, last week, this incredible, this epic moment of faith where from Jesus' heavenly Father, Peter would declare to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Declaring that and seeing into the truth of who Jesus is beyond what anything that the people could see or what they were saying. And yet then this week, as Jesus begins to tell and show his disciples how he would have to suffer and die and be raised on the third day, Peter now objects to this. He even goes so far as to try to rebuke Jesus about this. And he earns then that stern response from Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." And so there's this true conversion of mind that Peter needs to continue to have, even after this beautiful moment of faith in his life. And then in our second reading, St. Paul, he says to the Romans, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." So if this fall of Peter can happen, if Paul must warn the valiant first Christians of Rome, how can we not be on guard ourselves against falling the same way of thinking we have it all figured out? Rather, instead, understanding there must be this ongoing transformation of my mind, this renewal of my mind to be conformed not to the ways of the world, not to the thought of the world, but instead to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This brings us to our Ars Celebrandi series that we're doing this fall as part of the Eucharistic Revival. Ars Celebrandi, Latin for the art of celebrating, and that art of celebrating is something that is taught to priests and deacons who serve at the altar, but there's indeed an art of celebrating for all the faithful who are celebrating Mass, to enter into deeply both exterior and interior the celebration of Mass. This month of September, we're focusing on that first half of Mass, the Liturgy of the Word. This first half in which we are exposed to the Word of God. The Word of God is proclaimed to us. And this can indeed help us with that transformation of mind, that renewal of mind that we need to the message of the gospel. And so I'd like to share with you just a few insights about the Liturgy of the Word. During this month, we'll be having two different classes about how to deeply enter into the Liturgy of the Word. And so I'm just going to offer just a few highlights or observations for us today. I think the first thing for us to realize is that the Liturgy of the Word is indeed, it's a dialogue between Christ and His church, between Christ and His bride. And so the faithful, we are called to have this posture of awareness of that we're being addressed by somebody, and that in our responses that we are actually speaking to the Lord. So to have this posture of awareness and of listening, of receiving and responding. I remember in my St. John Vianney days, at the end of lunch, there's the Marian hymn that we always sing. I think it's the same these days. All right, good. So and so there's this Marian hymn, and you know, I was there for 7 years myself. You know, you're singing the same hymn day after day, and it can become kind of rote after a while. And I remember somewhere midway through, just the realization again, wait, I'm singing this to somebody, to Mary. These are words I'm giving to Mary. I'm not just singing a song, but I'm singing to Mary. And again, that renewed appreciation of that this is such a beautiful thing to be able to sing to Mary, and being so thankful for that. And the same thing is true for us so deeply, even more deeply in the Liturgy of the Word, that it is this dialogue between Christ and the church. And we have our part in first that awareness that we are here with someone, and then be attentive and listening, and receiving that and then responding. And so the church has instruction for how to celebrate the Mass, how to celebrate sacraments, a general instruction, and what that general instruction for the Mass says about this liturgy of the Word, says, when the sacred scriptures are read in the church, God himself speaks to his people, and Christ, present in his Word, proclaims the gospel. So we have our Lord himself addressing us through these readings. It's not just kind of like a Bible study among us or something like that. No, the Lord himself is addressing us in his sacred word. And then the dialogue is there. And so at the beginning of Mass, we have this penitential rite where we first ponder and then humbly admit our need for the Lord's mercy. And indeed, then mercy is given by the Lord. And so then our response to that is the church sings the Gloria. This dialogue continues. And what words we take up in the Gloria? We start with those words of the hymn of the angelic host at the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest. You know, and we take up those words, and that's how we kind of launch into the liturgy of the word with this angelic rejoicing. And it's kind of interesting that there's a real parallel to that second half of Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist. How do we really enter into that liturgy? Well, again, we take up the words of the angelic hosts. This time, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Those are the words, that is the chant that the prophet Isaiah heard of all the angels surrounding the Lord when he is contemplating and realizing the presence of the Lord in the temple. And so both at the beginning of the liturgy of the word and again at the liturgy of the Eucharist, we started with these angelic hymns, reminding us of the heavenly realities that are here present, just as we saw that visually in that movie last week of The Veil Removed. And then the dialogue continues from there. We are addressed by the Lord in the first reading. We hear and receive that. And then the church lifts her voice, responding to that singing, the psalm, the responsorial psalm, as it's known, responding to our Lord who addresses us. And then we hear again from the Lord in that second reading. And then we ask for even more by singing the Alleluia. And indeed then, the Lord Jesus is here in a special way in the gospel, as the gospel is proclaimed. And then how do the people respond to that? In the end, they respond in faith by proclaiming the creed, the profession of faith. And so there's this beautiful interchange, this exchange between the Lord and his church. As again, that instruction says, by silence and by singing, the people make this divine word their own and affirm their adherence to it by means of the profession of faith. And so our responses and what do we do in our singing throughout the liturgy of the word is part of this beautiful offering that we make to God. You know, this living sacrifice, as St. Paul describes it. And we make that to God, a living sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise. A second point that I want to bring out, and I only have three. So the second point is that there is this unique importance to the proclamation of the gospel itself. And that is truly the high point of the liturgy of the word. If you go back to the very beginnings, there's a wonderful saint in Rome, St. Justin the Martyr, and he wrote an explanation of the Mass to the Roman emperor and his imperial court, basically like, hey, we're good people doing awesome things, you know, stop killing us. It was the basic gist of what he was trying to tell them. And he describes in that what their Sunday worship looks like, and it's so striking how much it is like what we do today, so many centuries later. There's that continuity that's there. And when he talks about this part of the reading of scriptures, he describes the Gospels in such, a beautiful way. He describes them because he can't use kind of church language with the Roman emperor. So he says, and then next we hear the memoirs of the apostles. The memoirs of the apostles, which is such a beautiful and simple way to describe what the Gospels are really about. You know, these gospels that the church herself discerned as these are the four gospels inspired by God, discerning that by the very use in the liturgy, in the Mass. And it is this memoir of the apostles, these very ones who are right there. You know, when Peter first has his moment of glorious faith and then his next moment of serious rebuke by the Lord, these apostles who are there, you know, and sharing with us, you know, what they experienced of the very words, the actions of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is such a privileged gift that God has given to his church that has been handed on to us, this apostolic faith of those who are there with Christ. And not only that, but when it is proclaimed in the Mass, the gospel is, as it says again in that instruction, Christ present in his word proclaims the gospel. More than just my voice or Deacon Jesse's voice, but it is the Lord Jesus himself who is present in the proclamation of the gospel. And we recognize that in our celebrating of Mass. Therefore, when the Alleluia begins, you know, we all stand because of this special presence of Christ in the gospel. There's a procession. There's this beautiful gospel acclamation drawing out of that gospel reading words to already prepare us for the proclamation. There's incense as well. And then we make three signs of the cross. We make one on our forehead, on our lips, and upon our breast. And we do that as a prayer so that the gospel, the word of God, may be in our mind and upon our lips and within our hearts, kept in our hearts. You know, so that we would, in a sense, understand this gospel, that we would proclaim it and share it ourselves, and that we would truly take it to heart, and that transformation, that renewal of the mind that we need. In a way, it's like this is asking for this blessing so that we are good soil that receives the word of God. The parable of the sower, so famous. The seed is the word of God, and so we make the sign of the cross, that the soil of our souls would be ready to receive God's word. It wouldn't be instead shallow soil in which the word of God just comes and passes, or that it's rocky soil, it's a pathway on which the word of God is stolen out of our lives by the enemy, but instead, no, a rich and deep receiving and responding to the word of God. And then we acknowledge this reality, this beautiful reality that is Jesus himself who addresses us in the gospel. And so when the deacon says the gospel of the Lord, we say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. And then my third point. In our gospel today, Jesus tells his disciples, follow me, follow me. And so the liturgy of the word is all about we listen at Mass in order that we may follow Jesus. Not simply here, but throughout our life. You know, that we would receive the word of God from ear to heart, not just simply in one ear and out the other, you know, unchanged, unaffected, untransformed. You know, and so the gospel is proclaimed to the gathered church. And there should be a conviction in us, though, that Jesus addresses each one of us in the liturgy of the word, that there's a word given to each one of us. And this happens because of the help of the Holy Spirit, that we would receive the word of God. In a beautiful document, Verbum Domini, the word of the Lord, by Pope Benedict, he says, the church has always realized that in the liturgical action, the word of God is accompanied by the interior working of the Holy Spirit, who makes it effective in the hearts of the faithful. Not just to echo around the church hall, but to really enter into our hearts. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit, if we are open to it. You know, in a real way, there's another parallel. You know, just as we have the epiclesis, that asking the Holy Spirit to help in the making of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, you know, there's in parallel the work of the Holy Spirit in the liturgy of the Word. First of all, that the Word of God has the Holy Spirit as its true and original author, but also at work within our hearts to receive it deeply and fruitfully. And so the Ars Celebrandi, the art of hearing, of celebrating rather, the liturgy of the word is one of first awareness, aware of who I'm truly hearing from and who I'm really addressing, of really listening to God's word for me, of receiving that, you know, with trust and reverence and joy, and then of responding, you know, in this privileged encounter with Christ. Now, it might be that sometimes, you know, people are like, well, I don't hear anything. I'm kind of unimpacted, unmoved by the liturgy of the word, and we can certainly have our off days, things like that. But if that's kind of just the steady experience of somebody, boy, maybe I can give an analogy. You know, if someone said, you know, I've got these seeds, you know, to plant a garden, but they're bad seeds. They really didn't come to anything. And as you're talking, you kind of look out their kitchen window out to the backyard, and you notice that the backyard has like a knocked over oil drum. You know, there's kind of just like piles of stuff in the backyard, and there's just gravel over half the backyard. Well, you know, is it really about the bad seeds? You know, or how well can that soil really receive those good seeds? And so likewise for us, I think there's both a remote and approximate preparation to receive the Word of God in Mass. That remote, that kind of more broad preparation. You know, in my life, do I have freedom from sin, which can block my ears, obscure my vision, make me kind of just resistant to the Word of God? Am I stepping into freedom from sin through that beautiful sacrament of penance and reconciliation? Am I entering into all the graces God wants to give me that I may live life for Him? Is my life, you know, so super cluttered with so many things and so many screens that just my capacity to listen is just warped? Do I have sensitivity to God, to hear from God through my own personal prayer? Am I growing in that capacity to listen to God by my closeness to Him, not simply in these 15 minutes of hearing the Word of God, but in my life? You know, how would that be if somebody's like, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to you at all, but you got 15 minutes on this one day a week. You better make it good. I really don't have much time to listen. I mean, what kind of relationship is that going to be? And so am I cultivating this relationship with the Lord that I may hear from Him? And then I think there's also a more proximate preparation as well. Do I ever look at the Sunday readings before I come to Mass? To kind of pre-hoe the soil before the seed is given. You know, just to have some basic awareness of what the readings are and where they're taking us today. And then maybe after having received the Word of God here, do I maybe look back at those readings, especially if a certain passage, a certain message, a certain word seemed really fruitful in my hearing of it, to go back to that and be fed by that throughout the week. I think looking at the Sunday readings both before and after can be such a powerful devotion, powerful prayer in our life. And so we have the art of celebrating Mass. And the Liturgy of the Word, again, is all about that awareness, that listening, receiving, and responding. And so this month we'll have a class that we'll give two different times. And you'll see this in the bulletin when it finally arrives. Thank you, Postal Service. But also in our Friday flock notes. We're going to have that class on Friday, September 15th, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., so one time during the day, as well as on Tuesday, September 26th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., where in that hour and a half, we can dive even more deeply into how do we celebrate well the Mass, and this month, especially the Liturgy of the Word. Because God has a word for us to live in His truth, His life, His light, that we can really take up what St. Paul urges of us. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect.